threat all over the world. Right now, there are people who have no access to clean drinking water.
Do you call yourself a protester?
No, I call myself, first and foremost, I'm just a regular human being. I'm a mother and a grandmother, a great-grandmother. I'm Lakota. I'm a woman. And water is the domain of the women in our nation. And so it's our privilege and our obligation to protect water. So, you know, if somebody wants to label me, I guess it would be water protector.
Lakota leader Deborah Whiteplume of the Pine Ridge Reservation speaking from Red Warrior. Special thanks to Laura Gottesdiener, John Hamilton, Dennis Moynihan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, a breakfast and brunch venue located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Lunch was provided by Frank's Noodle House, whose specialty is La Mian, or Chinese hand-pulled noodles, and are located at 822 Northeast Broadway Street. Dinner was provided by New Taste of India, a food cart at 1810 Southwest 4th Avenue, serving North Indian dishes including lamb, chicken, and vegetarian choices.
The Clinton is our monthly film series that takes place every third Thursday at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film is Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. Melao de Cuba, a Latin salsa band, will play, and the film will start at 7:15. Chico and Rita is a 2010 adult animated music and romantic film set in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Chico is a young piano player with big dreams. Rita is a beautiful singer with an extraordinary voice. Music and romantic desire unite them, but their journey and the tradition of the Latin ballet, the boleto, brings heartache and torment. Again, that's Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 5:01 and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is the evening news. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting The Trump Card, a breakdown of what makes Trump tick, by storyteller Mike Daisy. Daisy tells Trump's story from his earliest days, tracking him as he makes himself into a new American archetype. The Trump Card takes place September 25th at the Newmark Theater. Tickets and information are available at portland5.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the city of Portland takes
up its new policy in reducing fossil fuels. But what will happen when industry pushes back?
Indigenous bicyclists rode from Oregon to Washington, D.C. to persuade Barack Obama to pardon Leonard Peltier. Here's part five of the Justice Ride series.
And the Oregon Legislative Emergency Board is meeting to decide about building another women's prison in the state. Shannon Wright from the Partnership for Safety and Justice explains why it's a bad idea.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, September 12th, 2016. I'm Doug McVeigh.
And I'm Rosalind Scott. Local activists are calling for opponents of climate change to attend the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission meeting tomorrow. The commission is set to begin hammering out land use guidelines for Portland's new rules against fossil fuel dependence, but industry interests are expected to push back. Here to talk about what's going on is Mia Reback for 350pdx.org. Mia, thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me.
First, can you refresh our memory about the city's vote to begin restructuring fossil fuels use? When did that happen?
Yeah, so last November, the city of Portland passed two groundbreaking resolutions, the first opposing oil trains in the city of Portland, and the second made it formal city policy to oppose the expansion of new fossil fuel infrastructure. And that resolution laid out a directive for the city to follow up with proposed code changes to implement that resolution into binding city law.
So there's a big meeting tomorrow. What do you expect to happen then?
Yeah, tomorrow's Planning and Sustainability Commission meeting is the first public hearing where the public can come and give testimony on these proposed code changes. We'll be gathering with our allies who've been helping us with this campaign, those at Columbia Riverkeeper, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Sierra Club, Climate Action Coalition, for a rally before the hearing. Folks will be gathering at about 11:30 a.m. starting for that. And then public testimony is expected to begin at 1:30 p.m.
Can you break down what's included so far in the proposed policy?
Yeah, so the first thing this proposed policy does is it defines a bulk fossil fuel terminal as a fossil fuel facility larger than 5 million gallons. It sounds like a lot, 5 million gallons is a lot, but they're also a lot smaller than our existing fossil fuel facilities are much larger than that. So it says no, it enacts a prohibition on any new bulk fossil fuel terminal. And then it starts to address our 11 existing fossil fuel terminals. Currently, the proposal will designate those facilities as what's called a non-conforming use. That's just a technical term, meaning it does not, the existing facility is not what the land use law says should be there. And would then, by designating it a non-conforming use, it would restrict those facilities' abilities to expand. And this is really, really important because all fossil fuel storage facilities pose imminent threats to our health and safety by transporting and bringing dirty combusted fossil fuels into the city of Portland. And our existing fossil fuel facilities are also in a seismic liquefaction zone. So they're very, very vulnerable in the case of an earthquake to collapse into the Willamette River and catch fire. So it's really, really important that we don't allow new bulk fossil fuel facilities to be built, but also don't allow our existing ones to expand. They're big enough as is. We don't need to grow our fossil fuel usage. We have alternatives.
Okay, so, I mean, what should we be keeping an eye on? We know what's on the table. What kind of compromises might be in process? What should we be looking out for? Yeah, what should we be looking out for?
The first thing to look out for is that 5 million gallon number. We want to see that number actually shrink. 5 million gallons, especially for liquefied natural gas, is a lot of new fossil fuel infrastructure. So we want to see that number shrink, if not go to zero. And from there, we're really looking to make sure that industry does not roll back the existing proposal. We want to make sure that existing facilities stay as a non-conforming use. Yes, it will make it hard for them to expand. That's a good thing. There are other things the city of Portland and the state can do to require safety improvements, especially in regards to seismic safety. And so that's kind of separate from this policy. We also want to see additional review criteria added in. So if a facility does try to expand and go through this review process, they need to demonstrate that they're not increasing safety risks in our local community. And they would also need to then demonstrate that they're not adding climate risks and adding greenhouse gases to our atmosphere. And so that's a desired addition to the current policy, that added criteria. And the final thing to be looking out for is small terminal aggregation. The fossil fuel industry and their crafty ways to avoid regulation have a history of breaking into smaller subsidiary companies and entering creative partnerships to get around regulation. And so we want to make sure that these companies cannot do that and build a bunch of small terminals in a related project to get around this rule. And so to kind of sum it up, we want to shrink the allowance for new facilities to as small as possible. We want to make sure that our existing facilities cannot expand, and if they want to expand, they have to go through a rigorous review process.
Is there anything that you wish had made it into this proposed policy but that didn't make it? Is there anything outside of that, or are you happy with it?
You know, I think that it's time for the end of the fossil fuel era, and we have all the alternatives. We have the technology to power our economy on renewable energy, especially if we invest heavily in energy efficiency. And so I think that, you know, we're at a time where let's just make it clean and simple, and let's just have full bans on all new fossil fuel facilities, new power plants, new pipelines, new infrastructure. Let's just say no to everything new so we can have that transition to renewable energy before the climate crisis really tips over the edge.
I'm curious. So who's going to be on? I don't see how anybody would be able to oppose it, but I presume the industry will. Who's going to be there from the other side?
I think that we can expect to see some fossil fuel terminal operators show up. The fossil fuel terminals in Portland, you know, they're managed by these big multinational companies, Shell, Chevron, BP. They're not happy about this, so there's a chance they will show up. And I think we can also expect to see Northwest Natural and potentially other of our local utilities show up. And I think that's an important thing to touch on here is that Northwest Natural, they provide local natural gas to our houses, but they're also a big player in the fossil fuel industry, and they need to be included in this policy.
And how can KBOO listeners help support your work?
The absolute best way to support this work is to submit a public comment. The public comment period is live through tomorrow, Tuesday, September 13th. You can visit 350pdx.org, and we have a comment form up on our website to help people engage in the public process in that way.
So you can put your comments on your website and they will be registered, they will be included?
Yes. So comments through our website are automatically sent to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. And once they're sent, they are included as legal testimony on the policy.
Cool. That's terrific. I'm curious. Tell me about some of the work that you've been doing over the last few months, over summer.
Yeah, 350 PDX, we're a volunteer-led organization, part of the grassroots climate movement. Had a very, very busy summer participating in actions, responding to the Mosier oil train derailment, which is a horrible crisis that happened in Mosier, as well as really laying the foundation for a transition to renewable energy. It's time. We've had enough of the era of the fossil fuel industry. We have all the technology, and it's time to move forward to a 100% renewably powered Portland.
Thank you, Mia. That was Mia Rebeck of 350pdx.org. The Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission meeting is Tuesday, September 13th at 12:30 p.m. at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Suite 2500A.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Now, KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now is Lisa Loving, our news director, to talk to you about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
It's true. It is I, Lisa Loving.
Thank you.
I'm joined by my sister, Bonnie
Hello.
Haynes.
Hello.
And we are passing the hat for this humble radio station, 877-500-5266. Especially when you're listening to the KBOO Evening News, you get a sense of just how real this place mm-hmm. is. Real is the word. And as you listen to people doing the news on KBOO, you listening to people reading those readers, they're anchoring the news. These are people just like you, literally just like you. They're volunteers who stepped up. Some drive cabs, some work at Costco. There's a couple that work in food service, and they get off work and they come to KBOO Community Radio and they help do the news. And I have nothing but the most amazing respect for the people that share their time like that. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to invest in this programming. Invest in what we're doing here, right, Ani?
Absolutely, and it just takes a couple minutes of your time and a few dollars to really do a lot for KBOO right now. 877-500-5266. If you think about doing little bite-sized chunks every month, giving $5 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, whatever it is you can afford, we would love to accept from you and welcome you into the KBOO family. You know know you're already a community member with your ears, with your heart. Now we're asking you to financially support what sustains you, what informs you, what keeps you connected to the whole. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. You know, Lisa, you were just saying we're passing the hat for KBOO, and I immediately flash back to like my early training as a community organizer, right? And we would have these like meetings at the Oregon Coalition Against the Draft Office, which was like the first place I really got sucked into when I was about 14. And we would start every meeting by literally passing the hat so we could make office rent, right? So that we would have access to paper and photocopies. It was actually a mimeograph machine. It was literally, you know, and that was just what we did as community organizers. We would pass the hat at every meeting so that we could meet our basic expenses. Now we're just broadening that out, widening that out. We are still just as grassrootsy as all of those little collectives that have been making Portland what it is. And we are asking you to be a part, to participate, to actively be involved in your independent media station, KBOO, 877-500-5266.
You know, in a minute, we're going to listen to the newest installment in the Leonard Peltier Justice Ride series. These folks, indigenous people, rode their bicycles from eastern Oregon all the way to Washington, D.C. in the month of July. And KBOO actually helped sponsor that trip. We people approached us to make that happen, and we pitched in to do that. And this is why KBOO is important, because we're looking at the grassroots. We're trying to grow the grassroots. And in a story as important as the story of Leonard Peltier, I actually don't think that there are many stories as important as his. And invest in this programming by calling 877-500-5266. You know you could come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, Oregon. We haven't had a lot of walk-ins, haven't been inviting people in so much, but you know, I know people who call up the air room because they know there's going to be someone answering the phone. If that's you, you need to call this number, 877-500-5266. We are here because you help make sure we stay here. And don't stop now. You're doing a hell of a job.
Hell of a job indeed.
877-500-5266. Hey, let's go back to the news.
The Leonard Peltier Freedom Ride series continues tonight. Indigenous bicyclists started in July in Banks, Oregon. The 3,000-mile ride for freedom arrived in Washington, D.C. on July 23rd to seek the release of Leonard Peltier. Peltier was convicted of killing two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in June of 1975. Many people, including former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, have argued that Peltier was not given a fair trial. KBOO's Delphine Crescenzo has more.
This is Chris Francisco reporting for KBOO from the Peltier Freedom Ride 2016. We are traveling from Banks, Oregon to Washington, D.C. from July 12th to the 24th to create awareness of the injustice Leonard Peltier has endured and support for his clemency. Thank you to all the people who have supported Leonard Peltier over the years.
Yesterday, Monday, July 18th, the Peltier Justice Ride left Colorado after a full day of rest and landed in a small town in Kansas where finding a grocery store open at 8 p.m. was a real struggle. The riders set up camp and were hoping for hot dogs to accompany the storytelling event of the evening.
We're in a Quincy, Kansas, and we can't find a grocery store in this little town. There's a Dairy Queen and Rogers Garage and I think a church and a bunch of cars all over, man. Huh. Is there a grocery store down here? Yeah, so we're going to go there, gather up some food, and then take it out there, some hot dogs. And, you know, that's what they're asking for. The rest of the crew is over at the camp, base camp, and there's a nice fire pit, and there's some wood, and not as many mosquitoes as there was before, I guess. So they want me to read my play, Kill the Savage Mind. I wrote a play, and we're going to do a campfire and storytelling. In 2006, I went to New York City, Hunter College, and I took a class called Finding Your Voice with a bunch of New Yorkers. I did another workshop in Portland State, and you have to, like, slowly decolonize people's minds with the story, because there's a lot in there. It has to do with the boarding school experience, and has to do with this character named Yazzie. He finds his way home because he went to a Mormon replacement program, which they used to have on the reservation a long time ago. They took Navajo kids from the res and took them to Salt Lake City or around surrounding areas and had them work on the farm, and they went to school, and, you know, they took care of them. But so the story is about this little Navajo boy and the grandmother interacting with each other. And Yazzie is another character, main character that's part of it. And, you know, the grandmother trying to teach the young boy the natural surroundings and natural way of being to men. And Yazzie, was, on the other hand, was trying to teach him how to read and write in the boarding school, how to be civilized. And this is the settings in the 60s and the 70s, 80s. So some things have never changed from the 1800s when Captain C. Pratt first established Indian boarding school in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So it started from all that, Captain C. Pratt, you know, underneath the War Department, decided to solve the Indian problem, and the policy, made a policy for all Native kids, you know, within age of six on up to attend boarding schools and to get educated and get a trade and, you know, melt into the civilization, you know, the melting pot. So the story's about that. And Yazzie comes back around full circle. You know, he was fully dedicated to killing the savage mind. You know, he was part of it himself because he went through it, and he was trying to do the same thing to the little Navajo boy. I call him Don Boy. And so at the end, he finds out that, you know, he went back to the traditional way of being. And so that's what happened to that little boy. They're trying to put a square peg into a circle, which was very hard to do because you can never do that. You can never put a square peg in a circle. So to this day, it's still the same way with Native people. You can't put us, you know, push us into something, because that's not who we are. You know, we're indigenous people, you know.
What do you hope happens at the reading tonight?
Tonight? Yeah, we're just sitting around the campfire, and we'll be talking. I'm hoping that they would understand where I come from, you know, like with the Nat tribe, you know, because of the stories about this little Navajo kid. And I'm trying to probably with have them understand, you know, that we are human beings just like anybody else. You know, we're all different tribes, but we're people. So I'm just have fun storytelling, you know.
At the end of the reading of his play Killing the Savage Mind, Christopher received a standing ovation. The writers are now halfway to Washington, D.C. But on the second day of the Peltier Justice Ride, KBOO reporters Christopher and Brent got pulled over by the police in Idaho as they got turned around in a rural community.
We're just driving down the road, you know, and you got two brown people and our red people here in a white community. We're just driving by, and they saw us, and they came after us, and pulled us over and say we didn't have any taillights. And they asked for IDs, and we were tired, and I just wanted to get to the hotel and upload the video and the audio
onto the internet. And then earlier we had like heart trouble and stuff like that. Well, they pulled us over, asked us for an ID, and we just, you know, gave it to them. We didn't have time to really say, what am I being detained for? We'd probably still be there, or probably even tased or shot. I don't know. So we tried to avoid all that. We just gave it to them, you know. And they ran our name and came back, and, you know, they said they're going to run the dogs around the car. And we tried, you know, we said something, but they said that they can do that now without, you know, anything. They just run the dogs if they want to. So they did, and they found nothing, and, you know, we're good, clean Native people, you know, so we're just here for a cause, you know, helping our brother to make awareness for him for clemency. That's all we're trying to do, man. You know, so they ended up letting us go, and finally made it back to the hotel later.
And they were asking you about the red piece of cloth that you have tied to the car. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, they saw the red cloth behind. We put everybody on this caravan has a red cloth, so that way we watch each other, you know, and take care of each other. So you saw that one of the cops later came over to us and asked us what that red cloth was about, you know, why is it there? And we just told him we're part of the caravan. And he goes, oh, okay. So then we explained that's why we're coming from that campground over there. You know, we're just driving to the hotel, and the GPS took us the wrong way, and he pulled us over.
Today, the caravan keeps heading east on Highway 70 through Kansas, and tonight they will rest in Higginsville, Missouri, before they continue their journey through Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia to Washington, D.C., as they raise awareness about Leonard Peltier and ask for his clemency. They will arrive in D.C. on Saturday, and here is what Christopher is looking forward to.
Well, we're really enjoying the ride. And if we really want to get somewhere, it'd probably be the Democratic National Convention, like just going on over there to interview some more Native people there and see what's happening. And when we get to D.C., you know, I'm ready for anything. You know, I got my mic and I got my camera, and it will fill everybody in on what's going on. And it's going to be very interesting. So stay tuned, listeners. You know, so far it's been a very good journey.
Tune in again on Monday to the KBOO Evening News to hear an update from the Peltier Justice Ride 2016. Go to kboo.fm/Peltier Justice Ride to listen to past updates from the ride. Also, follow KBOO on social media to see photos and videos by Christopher Francisco from the Peltier Justice Ride. For the KBOO Evening News, the segment was produced by Delphine Crescenzo and Christopher Francisco. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program just by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned at the end of this newscast for an interview with Shannon White from the Partnership for Safety and Justice about the State Legislative Emergency Board vote later this month to fund a second women's prison in Oregon. That's followed at 6 by Labor Radio, Of the Working Class, By the Working Class, and For the Working Class. At 6:30 is Prison Pipeline. Tonight, Emma Lugo hosts part 2 of a discussion on autism and the criminal justice system. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight's weather, clear with a low around 48. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 82. Today in history. In 1974, the Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia was overthrown in a coup d'etat. And in 1977, South African security officials murdered Stephen Biko, the anti-apartheid activist who founded the Black Consciousness Movement. The quote of the day is by Salvador Allende, the president of Chile, who was overthrown and murdered in a U.S.-backed coup on September 11, 1973. In a defiant address to the nation that day, he said, "Social processes can be arrested neither by crime nor force. History is ours, and people make history."
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, so now it's your turn. Joining us now are Lisa and Ani to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, it's true that my name is Lisa. I'm here. I'm joined by my friend Conch.
Yes, and thanks, Rosalind and Doug. You guys are amazing, amazing volunteer reporters here at KBOO.
And the number to call to invest in this programming is 877-500-5266. So I'm the evening news director, and I have to tell you that when Karen James came to me and said she was going to do an interview with Shannon White of the Partnership for Safety and Justice about the possibility that there would be a new women's prison in the state of Oregon, I screamed.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out. Yeah, I did scream. Now, I'm putting it to you, listeners. Did you know that, though? Not that I scream. You knew that I scream. Did you know that they're talking about putting a new women's prison in the state of Oregon? You. I'm talking to you. Yeah. If you did not know that, I want you to go to your phone and I want you to pick up your phone and I want you to take your finger and I want you to tap 877-500-5266 because you actually have a whole community of friends and colleagues who scatter all throughout our zone and go and find the most important stories that you haven't heard in other places. Another women's prison. Yeah, like we really need that. Here's another one. Emma Lugo's show for Prison Pipeline about autism in prison. Tell me all the times that all the articles you've read about that and all the TV specials and documentaries. I want to hear it from you. You. I'm talking to you, right? Because we're here during the news. We're passing the hat for KBOO and we want you to call. And that number's 877-500-5266. Conch,
I'm going to say something.
Make them call.
I'm going to say something controversial, Lisa. I'm going to say something
controversial.
Really controversial. And that's that if you can't go a day without finding out what's happened to the Kardashians, you probably don't care that much about KBOO News. That maybe the evening news is not for you. But if you love to hear like amazing long-form stories about the intersection of politics and theater, like we've just heard from Delphine Francenzo, if you like to hear breaking news about like what's going on with the busting ground for women's prison.
Anything to do with climate disruption, because you're already not hearing anything about that. You're just not.
And local on-the-street stuff, like where our reporters are so close, they're in danger of getting arrested. And they're like, yeah, that's okay, because we feel the need to get this news. That is when you listen to KBOO News. That is when you tune in KBOO News. And that is when, hopefully, you know, because you might be checking it out on the web. And in that case, you can stay on KBOO.FM, and you can just hit that old donate bar, and you're good. But if you want to talk to somebody about, hey, what is the best way? I've got a credit card, but maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I want to do $5 or $10 or $20 a month. Well, just talk to one of our folks here. That number is toll free. It's 877-500-KBOO. It's 877-500-5266. These people back here, they know everything. They'll hook you up with some tickets to shows. It's amazing. They'll hook you up with that amazing KBOO hoodie because, you know, in a month or so, it's going to be hoodie weather.
And the hoodie's so nice. It's really warm and soft. It's just really wonderful. That's a $20 per month minimum pledge. Here's another one, right? Amy Goodman, CD and book set, Democracy Now! 20 Years, covering the movements changing America, mm-hmm. and Amy Goodman's speech in Portland that was held this May, May of 2016.
KBOO.
That little booger sold out. So if you weren't there, you don't know what
fast.
Happened. So, and yeah. I'm putting this out. That's for a $100 minimum pledge. That's only $8.25 a month. Now, you can afford that. I'd like to suggest that people give us a call at 877 500 5266 and pledge 1 hour's wage per month. That's what I like to suggest. But this thing, it's like the CD of when Amy spoke in Portland a few weeks ago, really, and her newest book, Democracy Now! 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America. That makes such an awesome gift for someone during the holidays, a gift for a young person or an older person.
I know holidays are coming up.
They're totally. And I'm just putting this out. Y'all, you could read the book and watch the CD and then wrap it up and give it to your wonderful, radical, young socialist niece.
Just don't get any fingerprints
on it.
Out. That's all.
Or you could send it to your Republican grandfather. He should probably read it and see it, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
877-500-5266.
And then when you're around the Thanksgiving table, you can discuss it a little bit. Yeah, my folks have their birthdays right before Thanksgiving, so I should up my pledge. I should do a little bit more on my membership and get some cool thank you gifts. And what I'll do is I will call in to some of these cool folks back here. 877-500-KBOO.
Here's the other thing, though, right? When you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266, or you show up in person, we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. It's half a block south of Burnside. You actually come in, you put some money on the table, and then you see all the places you can sign up as a volunteer. Because check this out, KBOO. We've been giving microphones to the people since 1968, right? We've been doing that. That's you. You're the people, right? So give us a call. Invest in freedom of speech. 877-500-5266. Put down the $100, the $8.25 a month. Get that CD and book set of Democracy Now! And then tell that young socialist niece about how those jokers in North Dakota actually think they're going to arrest Amy Goodman and charge her with trespassing behind that. And then you can spin out some stories about what happened when Amy Goodman and the Democracy Now! Staff got arrested at the Republican National Convention some few years ago, right? Because when you do pick up the phone and you call us at 877-500-5266, you make an investment and you're part of our community. You become part of the fabric of history, of our Cascadia history. So I'm saying 877-500-5266. Now back to the news.
As we heard at the top of our newscast, tomorrow the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission will hold a public hearing on a proposed new zoning designation that would ban new bulk fossil fuel terminals from the city. The new regulations would apply to facilities that store 5 million gallons of fuel or more at any one time. Existing facilities would be grandfathered in, but would be deemed to be non-conforming. The Planning and Sustainability Bureau has already received more than 700 letters asking that the law be made even more stringent. The public hearing is set for Tuesday, September 13th at 1:30 p.m. at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue. That's 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue. People can find out more by calling the city at 503-827-7700.
Overtime pay rules will finally change for farm workers in California. Earlier today, California Governor Jerry Brown signed Assembly Bill 1066, which will eventually guarantee that farm workers will be paid overtime for working more than 8 hours in a single day. The bill also phases in a standard 40-hour week. The average work week for farm workers in California is between 42 and 44 hours, according to the United Farm Workers Union. Currently, farm workers in that state are only paid overtime if they put in more than 10 hours in a single day or 60 hours in a single week. The new overtime rules will be rolled out over a period of 4 years. The rollout won't start until 2019, and any or all of the changes can be suspended by the governor depending on the economy. Still, supporters are calling the bill an important step toward fair and equitable treatment for farm workers.
A car bomb blast in the city of Van in southeastern Turkey has left some 50 people injured, including 4 police officers. The explosion occurred near local government offices. The Turkish government is blaming Kurdish militants from the Kurdish Workers Party, or PKK, for the attack. However, no one has yet claimed responsibility. On Sunday, the Turkish government replaced administrators in 24 Kurdish-run towns over alleged links to the PKK, including 4 in the Van province.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Lisa and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yay!
Rain or shine, indeed. It is shiny out there, which is why you might like to tromp down near the east end of the Burnside Bridge and visit us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. There's some yummy coffee that I just have been drinking. And you can become a member here, and you can choose a cool ticket out of the ticket booklet, or maybe another thank you gift such as a KBOO t-shirt. There's so many of them here. But first, you have to stop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue or go online on your electronic device to kboo.fm or call toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
I want to toss out a couple happy thank you gifts for people to think about, because I'm one of those people, I'm counting pennies all the time and I'm trying to make my money go twice as far, three times as far. And I do have to say that for a $40 minimum donation.
Only $40?
Only $40. You get to go to the Portland premiere of 8 days a Week, the new Ron Howard film about the Beatles. It's a benefit for KBOO, and we're offering tickets for memberships. So that's for a $40 minimum contribution.
That's a steal.
And yeah, that's all ages. So I guess it's coming in pairs. Do ask the person at the phone. Here's another really good one. Now, this is big ticket. Billy Bragg. If you're listening to the KBOO News, that means you're a Billy Bragg fan.
He's on this side of the pond.
B-R-A-G-G.
Wow.
If you just showed up in the past 5 minutes, go up, look up Billy Bragg. That's $120 minimum contribution, and you get to get a pair of tickets to see Billy Bragg and Joe Henry. That's in October at the Aladdin Theater, or Aladdin, as they say in other places. But you need to call 877-500-5266 to get these tickets.
These are screaming deals.
They really are. And so those $40 minimum contributions for the Beatles film, that's for a pair of tickets. So $40.
Wow.
And you're taking that radical niece, because you know you're going to have a conversation about, your favorite Beatles. See what I did there? I spoofed you, because everybody's got a different favorite.
Actually, George.
Everybody's favorite Beatles, George Harrison. But anyway, 877-500-5266. We're looking for people to invest in this radio station. If you just happen to be passing by, we're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, half block south of Burnside. Drop by, get a plate of food. Just empty out your wallet on the table. I'm just putting that out, okay? Because here's the other thing. 877-500-5266. A lot of people that are listening right now are already members. You're already members, right? So think about a gift membership and give us a call. 877-500-5266.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Rick Becker, Rosalind Smith, and Kurt Koreski. The producer is yours truly, Doug McVeigh. Special thanks to Delphine Crescenzo. Our engineer is Danielle Park. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Doug McVeigh.
And I'm Rosalind Scott. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris host the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Call-in talk radio covering politics, history, and the state of the zeitgeist with a liberal dose of listener comments. At 9 on Alternative Radio, Ari Robin Haft speaks on liars, lying, and politics. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, It's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host DeMay Roberts speaks with Niecy Shawl about her new book about an imaginary utopia called Everfair, and with Peter Ho Davies about The Fortunes, his epic novel that tells four stories of Chinese-American history. And at 11:30 on Art Focused, host Joseph Gallivan interviews author Yoav Litvin, who studies street art and graffiti in his new book, To Create. KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we're asking you to do the same.
Just remember, dial 877-5... Ooh, what is that number?
877-500-5266.
That's right. And that's it. So good night. Good night, Roseland.
Good night, Doug.
Good night.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The state's Legislative Emergency Board is to vote later this week on whether to fund a second women's prison here in Oregon. KBOO's Karen James spoke recently with Shannon White from the Partnership for Safety and Justice about the proposal.
In late September, Oregon's Legislative Emergency Board will vote on the Department of Corrections request for nearly $10 million to open a second prison for women. I'm here with Shannon White, Deputy Director from Partnership for Safety and Justice. Shannon, Oregon has one woman's prison, Coffee Creek Correctional Facility in Wilsonville. Why is the Department of Corrections seeking $10 million for a second woman's prison?
Right now, the only prison for women in Oregon, Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, is at about 1,300 prisoners, and their maximum capacity is 1,280. So they're about 20 people over capacity, which is a problem to run a facility safely and well. They end up double bunking people, filling what should be recreational space with people instead of activities. And this isn't safe or productive for